And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
Yay, I had to update.
Yeah, we've had that with a couple of people already so far, so.
Must be new.
We appreciate you coming in. We had one guy just said, fuck it.
He was like, I don't feel like updating.
Fucking Skype.
Fucking Skype.
When do you guys want to get started?
Whenever you're ready.
I'm good. Let's do it.
Oh, what's up, everyone? This is Joe.
And I'm Pappy.
This is the SML Podcast, episode number 177, and we are joined by one of the sexiest chip musicians on the goddamn planet, Danimal Cannon. How are you, sir?
I am wonderful. How are you boys today?
It's good. It's been a while since we've talked to you on the show. It's been like, what, 2 years?
Yeah, and by we mean Joe, because I wasn't here.
See?
Yeah.
We picked up some baggage along the way.
Unfortunately. normally you try to get Chris on the shows, but he's got some band practice tonight and couldn't make this one, but we have you.
That's
so
all right.
You're the musician on this episode.
Yeah, I'll try to fill his shoes. We'll see.
So you just released a new album, correct?
I did. I did do that. Sorry, you were cutting out just a little bit.
Oh, was I?
Yeah.
Internet sucks.
That was perfect. That was still great.
Okay.
I was like, oh shit, did the call drop? But yeah, you just put out a new album, Lunaria. Tell us about it.
Well, let's see. What should I say about it? Essentially, I've been making Game Boy music under Danimal Cannon for a few years now, and this is my third record doing it. But it's my first one where I really figured out how to sort of combine it with the guitar, and some other instruments. And so it's sort of like a Game Boy Plus album where I add other instruments to just my regular Game Boy tracks and kind of expand and experiment on that. So it's kind of like, you know, my final form so far. I mean, I might have some more forms after this, but currently this is, you know, an extended version of my previous chiptune albums.
So this is your Charizard album.
Exactly.
So you still might have a legendary evolution ahead of you.
You're following me perfectly.
Gotcha.
This is a great analogy. But, you know, Charizard's pretty baller.
Charizard is pretty baller.
Just for the record.
So this is definitely your Charizardiest album. I absolutely love it. I've said before in the past, I'm not the biggest fan of just chiptune music, but when you mix it with other instruments, other elements, that is when I really, really start to enjoy it. And just the mixing of all the different elements, a lot more guitar work. This is a magical album for me.
Thank you, man. I got to say, it was kind of hard to figure out how to do it. I actually experimented a bit with combining other instruments with the Game Boy in the past. And I really had to figure it out. I had to figure out, you know, you had to essentially leave room for the guitar in there and the arrangements. You can't just, you know, double what's already going on. And that's kind of something I ran into, but I had experimented before with it. And this one, I finally figured it out. I found the magic.
Well, I will definitely agree that it is magical because I have been listening to it incessantly for a couple of days now.
2 weeks?
Something like that.
Yeah.
How have sales been, by the way? I know you wanted to do the whole Billboard route this time and see if you could get it ranked. How did that work out?
So I didn't make it onto Billboard. I was actually chatting with DJ Cutman today, actually. We were chatting and he was like, oh, hey, how are sales going? And we're, you know, we occasionally talk numbers, which you do with a lot of people, but he's a very business oriented guy. And so I have talked about numbers with him in the past. And, you know, he was like, oh, so, you know, what were your first week sales? And, you know, I was telling him, and he's like, you were, like, right on the cusp of what should have been, like, hitting the Heatseekers chart.
Oh, damn.
Just based on like, anecdotal, you know, sort of evidence of what we had learned from other projects and other things that people have said. Because Billboard keeps that shit on lockdown. Like, you have to have, like, a $5,000 a year subscription to like Nielsen or something in order to have access to that data, and they don't give it out like at all. They keep it all super secret. But from the things we've been able to learn through the music industry, I should have been right on the cusp of that. And fortunately, I did not make it, but I gave it a shot. And you know what? First week was really good, and people seem to be digging it. So, yeah.
And you were on the cusp.
Are still really good.
Just being on the cusp is pretty fucking cool.
Yes. Yeah.
That's more than me or Joe can say.
So that was my goal. That was my goal, and I totally didn't miss it. I actually hit my sales number goal, but I didn't get on the charts. So whatever. Better luck next time, right?
Yeah. It'll be the Legendary Evolution album that'll do it.
Exactly.
And you could even title that album Legendary Evolution.
I don't know if I'm going to do that, Joe, but it's a good idea. Not going to lie.
So
yeah,
how
things have been really.
Oh, Pappy, were you going to say something?
I'm just listening. I don't even need to say anything with this whole interview. I'm just going to enjoy myself.
I think Pappy just bought it right before we started this, and I think he's been listening to it this entire time so far.
I apologize. I meant to get it over the weekend so I could listen to it before, you know, I showed up on a freaking show or interviewing you. But I went a little thing called Daredevil Season 2.
Get away from all
problems. So yeah.
I understand, man. I'm trying to finish up House of Cards right now. And then once I finish that up, then I can go on to Daredevil.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
a little behind.
In my defense, I did start listening to it on your Bandcamp before I grabbed it, and I did tell Joe I'd rather not do the show so I could listen to your music instead. But you know,
I feel the same way, by the way. I'd rather just listen to you.
Why are we even
here? That's okay. We're glad to have you.
I plan on buying, like, I've been waiting because I want to try grabbing the All the Things package with the CD, the shirt, the poster, all that fun stuff. But I am waiting to find out whether or not the new car we got just needs tires or not, since we have an inspection tomorrow morning. And if we need tires, we are fucked. If we don't need tires, I should be buying the album tomorrow.
If they need tires, Joe will be selling his album on Bandcamp tomorrow.
Yeah,
exactly. I actually today I had to put a new battery in my car. So trust me, I understand. I'm feeling the pinch myself. I had to call AAA and my car wouldn't start, and I was late getting somewhere. It was a fantastic start to the day, actually. But it
sounds like a party.
Things are better now. Yeah. Is sitting outside in my car for 45 minutes. Whatever.
You
cool.
Really are the Chris of this episode, because he's been having car problems lately too.
You know,
his belt just snapped
until they don't work. Yeah.
What's the weather like where you're at right now?
It's not amazing. Kind of cold. I think it was 40 degrees today. Whatever.
Yeah, that's
it was
like
raining.
Summer in Buffalo.
Yeah, pretty much.
Did you see the sun
today? Not really, but
okay.
Well,
not
like last week I think it was like 70 degrees. Like, we don't know what's going on in Buffalo right now. Actually,
Mother Nature is just fucked right now.
Northern New York is just weird to me. Like, I went up there when I was still dating and Steph. I went up there for Thanksgiving to Rochester and then Buffalo to visit the X-Strike guys, and you know, we get up there and it's all overcast. And I'm from Pennsylvania, so I'm just like, oh, is it going to snow soon? She's like, no, it looks like that from like October until about March. And I'm just like, okay, I can't handle that. It's
kind of.
It's supposed to mean snow, not, oh, welcome to the next 6 months of your life.
Whatever, it's fine over here. Stop giving us a hard time, man.
I give you credit for putting up with that.
Yeah. I feel like there's worse things in the world. It builds character.
Yeah, there we go. Well, yeah, I get to give you guys shit because it's nice and 70 degrees here in Vegas, but then in 2 months it'll be 120. So.
Weren't you in, like, Alaska?
No, Steph
went. Did you live in Alaska or something?
No, she went.
Okay, yeah.
I stayed in Mississippi for another 6 months, and then I've been in Vegas for the last 3 years.
That works. Okay.
So he gets to sweat even in air-conditioned rooms in Vegas.
Well, no, the great thing is the dry heat. It's so much better than Mississippi heat with that humidity and mugginess.
Yeah, honestly, I would prefer the cold dampness of Buffalo to that muggy, just super hot 3/4 of the year. Not for me.
I think it's 50 right now in my area. I have the window open. There's a nice cool breeze coming in. I'm loving it.
That's a weird thing now. It's 46 degrees outside. I'm like, oh, fuck, this is really cold. Like, I need a jacket. And I know, like, when I move back to the East Coast, I'm pretty much just going to die the first winter.
You actually will die.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've spent the last 7 years in hot climates. So I have no choice but to move home and die with dignity or a pile of snow.
Yay. Come on, it doesn't snow anymore. Global warming and all that jazz.
Jazz.
I think this year was like the hottest year on record, like ever in the history of the planet. Not really, but it was like, I think there's some like crazy stuff that's coming out that's like, hey, this warming is actually accelerating beyond like our most like extreme projections. And they're like, I don't know. Who cares? We'll figure it out.
February was the hottest February on record for the 12th February in a row. So that should make some people go, huh, maybe we should not do what we're doing. But anyhow, we're a gaming podcast and not a depressing one.
Yeah. Oh, no, we're still a depressing show.
Oh, yeah. So I do want to ask, because you actually played in Vegas here, what, two and a half years ago?
Yeah.
Because I meant to go to your show and see you, but unfortunately I was hungover because that was most of how I lived that time. And so I was actually curious, in support of this album, do you plan on doing any kind of tour?
Yes.
I got an email. I forgot to silence my phone.
That's okay.
Yeah, you did.
I'm not touring right away, but I'm setting up something for this summer, and it's going to be mostly Eastern U.S. It should be in June, and I don't think I can say who it's with, but it'll be probably mostly the Eastern U.S., a little bit into the Midwest, I think, as well. So I'm sorry, we probably will not hit Las Vegas. Getting over that Central America... Not the center of America, not Central America, it's kind of difficult. You could do it, but it's tough. You got to have a real baller tour to be doing that. So it's just so much easier to stick to the coast.
That's fair. We'll just try and scrap
sometime in June.
We'll just try and get Joe to get to your show so he can at least tell me how awesome it was.
There you go. Yeah, Joe, you're coming to a show.
Which one? Name it.
I don't know.
I'll try driving there.
Are you closer to Pittsburgh or Philadelphia?
Philly. So I'm guessing you're going to do like an 8 Static show again?
Maybe. There might be something around Too Many Games. Yeah.
I've been meaning to get to Too Many Games one of these years.
Yeah, and Joe, by then Chris might be living 30 minutes outside of Philadelphia.
Maybe.
So.
Yes.
Hey, if you're going to be at Too Many Games, I will try to make it a point to get to Too Many Games because I've been meaning to get to that anyways.
Well, it's faith then.
are you performing there? Are you going to be performing there?
We're figuring it out.
Nice.
Yeah. So
it's looking like it, but you can't confirm it yet.
Exactly.
So you know, we've confirmed it right now that you are performing.
Exactly. Yeah. There's a pretty big hint that it should happen. And if it doesn't happen, I will be very upset, actually. So nice. I would hope so.
I will have to definitely try making that one because I did not get to see you enough at MAGFest this year.
I don't think I saw anybody at MAGFest this year. I mean, I met 1,000 people, but like they're all just fleeting moments. Like I didn't spend that much quality time with all but, you know, one or two people the entire weekend. But yeah, that's the story of MAGFest.
It really is.
You either have to pick a place and park yourself, or you have to like just hop around like a madman, and that's kind of what I did this year.
Yeah, were you in the shiz room? Did I see you in there? I think I did.
I was in there for a bit. That in fact, I was lucky because the shiz room was by my hotel room.
Ah.
So, yeah, so I was able to pop in there a bunch of times. Anytime I, you know, didn't have anything going on, it's like I'll just pop in the shiz room, see what's going on there.
Yeah, I dropped by there with Beardo, and I think I saw you in there then. I made a quick appearance in there. I didn't recognize, anyone in there.
Oh, really? They made me a drink called Shaq and Jack, and it was a Shaquille O'Neal soda mixed with Jack Daniels. And it was pretty vile, actually.
Oh,
but
God.
Like, here's your Shaq and Jack, and I was like, I didn't ask for this. And it's like, okay, I drank it anyways. Whatever.
Oh my Lord!
All in the name of MAGFest.
A Shaq and Jack.
You guys usually have some pretty wacky. You're at your party place, don't you?
We used to have a shot contest. We haven't done that in a few years, though. But we had some crazy stuff at those contests.
Oh, yeah, I remember hearing stories of that. Yeah.
This year was just a pajama party, so you had a lot of adult men in onesies.
Did you guys use, like, the kirigumis? Like, you know, the onesies that are, like, you know, the Japanese, like, bears and stuff? But, you know, those are pretty popular these days with the kids.
We actually went with a Winnie the Pooh theme with a couple of us, so.
It's beautiful. Beautiful.
I didn't have any pajamas because I am a large man and I can't find a onesie in my size. I would just need to wear a tarp.
We'll get you some jammers. You can get a nice 2-piece silk set.
Yeah. Joe, don't complain though. You did have, you know, the bathtub party.
I did. Tub talk.
Oh. What's about bathtub party?
There were just four of us hanging out in, well, Pappy had the presidential suite, like the billiard suite at MAGFest.
Is that the one with the hot tubs in the back?
I had two full bathrooms.
With, like, the circus tents?
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Like, I had a pool table, I had a dining room, a bedroom.
There's one suite. Is this the suite with the tents outside?
No, this is actually on the 20th floor or 30th floor?
Yeah, it was top floor. It was the same floor as the club. So
okay.
Yeah, this wasn't the one that had the tent outside, no.
It was a lot of fun, and I will finally finish paying off the bill here next month.
Oh, damn. So, have you ever been to that club upstairs? Like, did you check it out?
No, I never really had any interest. Because initially, when I still drank, I was, you know, like you said, you got to go see people, hang out, drink, have fun. And when I quit drinking, it was like, why would I want to go to a club? So,
right. Okay, that makes sense.
Capacity. Yeah.
I accidentally went there this year when I was trying to get to Pappy's room. Apparently, the one elevator on the, like, the entrance side of the hotel doesn't go up to the floor because it goes to the club. So we took the elevator up as high as we could and then figured, oh, well, maybe you got to take the steps. So we took the steps, went in the door, and we're in the club with nobody. It was empty. And we're just like, I don't think we're supposed to be here. So we ended up having to walk around all the way to the other elevator to take it up the rest of the way. That's my only experience being in that club.
So did it look sweet?
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. I could imagine it'd be a fun time when there, you know, people actually in there.
Yeah, but when is there ever actually people? I guess I don't really have like a handle on the other Gaylord events, you know, like the astronomy convention or something. But I'm wondering, like, who's going up to the 20th floor of the club, you know?
I'm curious if the club is even operating during MAGFest, you know? I wonder if they just look around and go, yeah, we're not going to
keep these nerds the fuck out of our club.
Right.
Yeah, those astronomers, though, those guys will kick back some Grey Goose, so we got to open up.
Yeah, I'm sure when they have the Redskins in the hotel for playoff weekends, the club is open.
Well, and remember, they did host the Republican National Convention, so I'm sure the club was open for all the debauchery that Republicans do when no one's watching.
Yeah,
I played on the stage that Ben Carson announced that he was leaving the race.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I was like, I know that room.
I rock out in that room.
It's just so weird knowing what we were doing at MAGFest and then going, oh my God, they cleaned it up for like a national convention. Like, props to everyone who works for the Gaylord for undoing whatever was done between us and
KatsuCon.
KatsuCon.
Which apparently that was a shit show this year.
Apparently some of it wasn't like their fault. Like there was one or two things. The flooding was just a burst pipe in a room. It was just a plumbing problem that happened. And then I don't know. There was one other thing, like some fire ended up being actually because of the cooking staff.
I think that they said that was like a kitchen fire.
Yeah. So KatsuCon probably got a bad rep, but it's not a bad thing to, you know, tell people not to abuse hotels. So whatever.
Yeah.
I think unfortunately it was one of those where enough bad things had happened that everything got blamed on them in the end.
Yeah.
It happens to all growing events though at some point. You know, I used to go to Dragon Con when I was in Mississippi, and they had that one year where like a bunch of people got arrested. Some guy threw another guy through a freaking window, and to the point where they just were like, oh, Dragon Con is terrible for the city. They just extra policed it the next year and no issues, you know, and that's sometimes that's what it takes. It's
thrown through a window. Did Dragon Con happen in a saloon?
I have heard a rumor, and I don't like to perpetuate rumors that I don't have all the facts on, but maybe you guys can help me out with this, that one of the guys on like the board of directors for Dragon Con like is like a convicted rapist or something.
It's not a rumor. He's a convicted pedophile, and he refuses he refuses to leave the board, and the rest of the board refuses to vote him out. So a lot of people have boycotted it, but it's so big now that it doesn't really matter. You know, unfortunately, you know, most of the people who go have no idea that there even is a board of directors, so they just go. But yeah, there's a convicted pedophile.
I just wanted to make sure that I heard correctly with that. I didn't want to spread bad information or something.
No, that's in the news. I mean, you can Google it.
Myth confirmed.
Okay, good. Yeah. Yeah, because I wouldn't be, you know, somebody starting shit with a convention, you know, that, you know, because that's kind of a crazy thing to say. Yeah. Well, I don't anticipate them hiring me anytime soon, but hey, who knows?
True.
They've actually gotten too big for themselves, and they might actually start losing some people. They outgrew their four hotels. So this year, the vendors are going to be putting a fifth hotel like a mile away. So a lot of vendors are now going to try and boycott it this summer. Like, how are we going to make sales if people aren't just walking through, you know?
The problem of scale. I guess it's the problem you want to have, though. MAGFest is getting there. They sold out at 20,000 people.
Yeah, it's getting ridiculous at MAGFest.
I'm scared. That means I need, like, a fucking alert when the rooms go open just so I get one this year.
Pack style. That's how it is.
That's what I'm afraid of, is it's going to come to that, because I'm not going to install a program into my computer just to buy a hotel room.
Yeah, that's insane.
But you did get the presidential suite this time, so you know what you're doing. You got your fingers on the right pulse.
I just got lucky having, you know, spent a couple of years married to somebody who runs the damn thing. That's all.
Right.
That helps.
Well, you know what you're doing. Yeah, I guess.
But I got a coworker who goes to BlizzCon every year, and they actually did. They have to install that program because BlizzCon sells out in like 45 seconds or something stupid like that.
That's insane.
Yeah. I just ordered the PlayStation VR. I actually set an alarm to wake up in the morning because I didn't know if it was going to sell out or not really quick. I heard the UK version sold out pretty quickly. So I was like, oh, I don't know if this is going to be a thing. And then it turns out, you know, I can still buy one now. But I set an alarm for it because I wanted to pick that up. And, yeah.
Well, when you get it in, I'm going to visit you.
PlayStation VR coming up. Yeah. It's coming out in October. So.
Yeah, I can't afford $500 like that. I wish. I'd love to check it out. I hear VR stuff is really cool, but that's just out of the price range.
Yeah, for me, it would be $1,000.
It helps to release an album just before it comes out.
I've been doing it wrong this whole time.
Wow, funny. Yeah, that I didn't have before. Wow.
So you got the PlayStation VR, and then your battery died. You're like, well.
Yeah. And I got two parking tickets.
Oh, God, that sucks.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, I've been just stepping into shit left and right. So, whatever. Money always finds a way to, you know, find a new home.
Oh, yeah. It's so much easier to spend it.
Than to get it, yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
America.
But I had it, and I was feeling a little flush, and I was like, you know, I do want to have PlayStation VR. And I was like, fuck it, let's do it. So,
hey, you earned it. For an album that good, you earned to just splurge on something.
Thank you. And so, yeah, that's my splurge.
That's your rock star purchase. I'm kinda,
there we go. Better than cocaine.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly.
Well,
yeah.
That remains to be seen. Yeah.
Well, it's a smarter investment than hookers.
Right. Exactly.
You'll find out all the cocaine parties at too many games.
Right, right. In fact, I'll just start working with some game devs on Cocaine Simulator. And then we can have the best of both worlds. We could do VR cocaine while doing cocaine. It'll be great.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, because you got to do cocaine so you know how to make the simulator realistic.
Right, right,
it's
right.
Research. It's research. Yeah. You're just going for authenticity.
And then you can do the pre and...
I can start a Kickstarter. I can Kickstart it and then expense it out. I'll have an expense report of my
pie chart. It's just a third of it is like cocaine.
I actually know somebody working on a ridiculous game project right now, and they were saying that they had to expense out velociraptor masks and things like that. So, yeah, do you guys know who Chuck Tingle is?
No.
Sir.
Oh. Well, after the show, go ahead and Google him. Anyways, there might be a Chuck Tingle game coming out.
Interesting.
Omni oppressed in the butt by my inclusive holiday coffee cups. Chuck Tingle.
What?
He writes erotic fiction.
Niche erotica.
Yeah. Go find another good title real quick.
Professor T-Rex teaches me gayness.
Oh, my Lord.
Yes.
The Curse of Bigfoot Butt Camp.
Oh, my God. We were already talking about doing Bigfoot erotica on this show.
You've been beaten to the punch.
Oh, God, no. This one is amazing. Angry man pounded by the fear of his latent gayness over a dinosaur transitioning into a unicorn.
That's the title of the book?
That's the title of the book.
That's an incredible title.
The artwork is pretty good, too. I like the ones about billionaire jet planes. Where it's not like billionaires in
the butt is not enough. I mean, no, this is, and what's funny is I know he's got to pound out a lot of books to make money, but
fuck you.
It's pretty, one, it's pretty impressive. Just the sheer number. Yeah. Living objects. There's a train with a Photoshop face. There's a book with a face. There's a ear of corn with a face creamed in the butt by my handsome living corn.
See?
God damn it.
So, I know somebody working on a Chuck Tingle-based video game.
Oh,
currently,
my Lord.
And so they were just joking about expensing out velociraptor masks and things. And I offered to do motion capture. And so we'll see. We'll see.
Are you doing the soundtrack for the game?
I might have to make some calls. But
make it happen. I believe in you.
I might be doing motion capture. So
I think
we'll
found his phoning it in book. Slammed in the butt by the living leftover chocolate chip cookies from my kitchen cabinet.
Yeah, that's phoning it. That's phoning it in.
Jesus.
You're just reading them all now, aren't you?
I am just scrolling down. Like, this is... I mean, there is a fucking lot.
Which is the one that made you just lose it right there?
I'm gay by living billionaire jet plane.
Yeah, no, that one's my favorite.
They photoshopped abs onto the bottom of a fucking jet plane.
God, I like pounded in the butt by my own butt. That's a good one.
Blazed by the gay living donuts. Oh, there's a science fiction one. Slammed in the butthole by my concept of linear time.
I was hoping it would be slammed in my black hole.
He's missed out on that one.
Yeah, missed opportunity.
Right. But yeah, Chuck Tingles. Now that you're familiar with that, I've done my job for the day, really.
Those people who have Googled him also Google Christy Sims and Alara Bronwyn, who both write erotic fiction, and Minecraft Slime.
Why?
Now I need Minecraft to Slime.
Like the slime from the game Minecraft. I don't know.
I see some crossover.
Yeah.
Why?
I found them by my own butt.
I'm spreading the gospel.
Hey, it's magic. That's why people tune into our show. They tune in for free game giveaways, shitty game reviews, weird developer interviews, and erotica.
Oh, yeah. He's a doctor.
Yeah, he's Dr. Chuck Tingle. Of course he is.
All right, I'm closing this.
That's fucked up.
So, that's a thing. Yeah. Just know that exists and, you know, enjoy the rest of your existence on this mortal plane.
Is it sad that this isn't the first episode where we talked about really weird erotica fiction on our show? Like,
I would expect nothing less, Joe.
One of our old episodes was actually titled Abraham Lincoln, Fuck Lord of the Moon. Because there was a fuck lord like the Abraham Lincoln fuck lord chronicles or something.
You know, I thought he was a vampire hunter, but you know, I guess he's branching out these days.
He's a man who wears many hats.
Yeah, this guy.
Many or Jimmy one hats. Hat. Yeah. Well, and then there was the one where we decided that we were going to try and write Bigfoot erotica.
Yeah, with Mike Micah and Adam Rippon and Bob Baffy.
How'd that go?
They told me I had to start, so I'm pretty much just haven't.
Yeah, still waiting.
Someday I'm gonna actually put like one or two chapters to paper and then send it to you. Like, what now, motherfucker?
I'll be like, all right, I'll continue on with this story, and then I'll send it to Mike.
But then you're going to get a cease and desist from Chuck Tingle for moving in on his turf.
Yeah, no, he's definitely got the gay Bigfoot thing down already.
Like, yeah, no, that's his corner. Corner of the market.
There's room in the world Bigfoot. For more than one Bigfoot erotica, and we're not gay Bigfoot.
We were going to do a female Bigfoot.
Yes.
So.
Is there? Oh, okay.
Like, we're going after the female demographic with hardcore romance and not just absurd erotica.
Yeah, there'll be a gay butt sex erotica.
There will be a love triangle between Bigfoot, Bubba, and Bubba's cousin, Jimbo.
Not in ours. Ours has women in it.
Yeah, Bigfoot.
With the muscular, throbbing member of Bigfoot.
No, Bigfoot was the female. Remember?
Was it?
Yeah. I actually remembered it enough to actually start it for serious someday. So I remember.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
All
right. Female Bigfoot, male hunters. So that was going to be. You were the one joking about, you know, the shaving Bigfoot erotic scene.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful.
I'm getting old. My memory's starting to go, man. It's starting to go.
Yeah. I can't remember who we interviewed last week, but I can remember the fucking details for Bigfoot erotica.
Yeah.
We can tell what's really important in your life.
Yeah. Yeah, to be honest, if I could write something that ridiculous and people would buy it, I don't see a problem with that.
No, I don't see a problem with it either.
Like, if I can write it to where it's a readable novel, you know, and someone wants to buy it, even if it's Jimbo plowing Bigfoot, then so be it.
See, now we have to do this book so I can afford a PlayStation VR.
There you go. See, I'm helping you guys out. I'm introducing you to your true calling. Which you could really make some big bucks on.
Fuck this podcasting bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me get my degree first, Joe, so I can, you know, have a college degree and then pump out erotica.
Sounds good.
You have to be Dr. Pappy.
Written by Dr. Pappy.
Well, that actually sounds like funny and creepy.
There we go.
You know?
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Pappy. I'm going to examine that ass See? Tonight.
There you go.
That's why you don't like phone books. So
Danimal, you mentioned you're getting a PlayStation VR. What have you been playing lately?
Okay, so this is the first system I've bought since my Nintendo, which I didn't buy when I was a kid. Other than I've had a couple handhelds, like I've had a DS and a 3DS and a Game Boy, but I haven't had any systems that I myself owned since an NES. So I got a PS4 like last month. I'm the worst gamer in the world, it turns out. And so I have been playing the Uncharted collection, which just came with it.
Nice.
And so I just played through Uncharted 1 and 2. And Uncharted 2 has one of the best single player I've ever played through in my entire life. And it's gorgeous. And the voice acting is great. And the story is cheesy, but the game is incredible. And so that is what I've been playing.
I will have to add you on PlayStation in case I ever turn mine on.
I believe I'm Danimal Cannon.
Surprising, shocking information.
Yeah. Why don't you play your PlayStation?
Because I have an Xbox One.
Yeah, but isn't PlayStation the good one this time?
Not in my eyes.
Depending on what you want.
Yeah. I'm on my fifth PlayStation 4 because they've broke so many times on me.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh. It's also what you want. Xbox One still has a lot more online interaction, a lot more games, you know, tailored for online and all of that stuff. The PlayStation, they're better now, but when they first released the PS4, that was if you want to do your JRPGs, your single player stuff, get a PS4. If you want to jam out with friends online, get an Xbox.
Interesting.
That's actually been changing a lot with how PlayStation.
No, I said it's changed. Yeah. But when I made the decision at the beginning of this generation cycle, I went Xbox, and I don't have the time to have two consoles.
Yeah, for me, the PlayStation 4, I pretty much just pick up exclusives on it. But most of the people I play online with are on Xbox, so I
play all the indie stuff on PS4 too. So.
Yeah, exclusive indie stuff.
Like exclusive indie.
Hey, if there's a game that comes out for both systems, I'm gonna get it on Xbox first because it's just my console of choice.
I'm just thinking one of the devs that we interview puts it out on both and sends you the PlayStation code. I imagine you writing back like, "Hey, I really appreciate it, but could I have an Xbox code instead?"
Well, no, they usually ask, you know, do you have a system preference? I'm like, well, if possible, Xbox, but you know, we'll do whatever. I'm more than willing to play PlayStation games. It's just, you know, I have my TV set up through the Xbox One, which is one of the best things in my eyes about the Xbox One is having that HDMI pass through, so I could just watch TV and then instantly switch over to a game whenever I want. And then there's all the apps on there, so Ashley could just fire up Netflix, or I could fire up WWE Network, or I could load up YouTube and watch some dumb video whenever I have, like, oh man, I forgot about this video, that I don't have the urge to turn on other systems. Like, I don't touch my 360 anymore, I don't touch the PlayStation 3, I don't touch the PlayStation 4, the Wii U, I don't feel I need to, because everything is right there for me on the Xbox One.
I get the joke that I'm one of five Microsoft fanboys by having an Xbox, Windows Phone, and a Zune.
Oh man!
Even I don't have a Zune.
Yeah, I got it, and then like a week later, they announced. I actually got it for Christmas.
So, I have to say that part of the reason I bought the PS4 was Street Fighter V. Now, I know the game is not entirely finished, and I don't even have it yet, but I've been really getting into the competitive Street Fighter circuit, like not performing, but just watching it. Events like Evo and the Capcom Cup and stuff like that. Like, I've really been enjoying just watching the Street Fighter 4 tournaments, you know, for the last couple years now, and I've been kind of really getting into it. Even though I don't really play, it's just super fun for me to watch. It's like, you know, my own Super Bowl or something like that.
Yeah, Evo's a blast to watch.
Oh, yeah.
It really is.
The shit some of those people pull off, oh, my God.
And the play-by-play is fantastic, too. So a lot of times when they're doing something complex that, like, as a casual player, I wouldn't catch, you know, it's just really interesting for me to sort of, like, you know, hear them expound upon, you know, what the players are doing and the subtleties of the game. And then I end up learning a lot about it. And part of that's been a big thing where, like, all right, now I really want to play Street Fighter now that I know so much about the game. And so the exclusiveness of Street Fighter V, it's like, all right, I want to be able to play the game while watching the competitive circuit, you know, as that's going on. So even though I don't have it yet, that was pretty much a system seller for me where, you know, that and, you know, they've got the new Final Fantasy coming out and the remake of 7 is like, okay, we'll just go PlayStation. So
yeah, I think for RPG fans, PlayStation's definitely the way to go. I mean, you can't deny that.
Yeah, and I'll never argue that. Although, but since I'm terrible at RPGs and never beat them, it was easy.
By all indications, the Final Fantasy 7 remake is going to come to Xbox eventually. It's just a console debut on PS4, and Final Fantasy 15's coming to the Xbox One as well. So I'll pick those up on the Xbox, obviously. But, you know, there's going to be stuff like the new Nier that I'm going to have to get on PS4, or the new Star Ocean I'm going to have to get on PS4, which I'm fine with. You know, that's the beauty of having everything. And then you're talking about Street Fighter V. I have been having a lot more fun with Killer Instinct, and season 3 of that's about to come out. So we don't have Street Fighter, but we have Killer Instinct, and it's arguably the better of the two in the eyes of many fighting fans.
Currently it's better, at least in terms of 5, just because 5 is completely unfinished.
But yeah, which is kind of garbage to release it for $60 and then be like, yeah, it's only half the game.
Yeah, and I mean, I realize they're going to be updating it for free, but whatever. When it's finished, quote unquote, which will be 6 months after it was released, it'll probably be an incredible fighting game. But why I don't feel the need to, you know, buy it immediately. You know, I can just wait for a sale to come along at some point and just pick it up.
And then
that's just being a smart shopper too. You know. Hey, I really want to play this, but I don't have to have this, so I'm just going to wait till it's on sale.
And by then, it might even drop to $40 or $30 for how quick games drop in price these days.
Sheesh,
I mean, UFC came out last week, and this week it's on sale for $40 at Best Buy.
Really?
Yeah.
Must not have sold very well.
In a week.
Yeah, that's crazy.
The very next week, it's on sale
$20. That's usually a bad sign. Yeah, that's usually a bad sign on the game.
Meanwhile, Mario 64 for DS it's still $40. I went and looked it up the other day because I was like, you know, I always wanted to pick this up, but I was like, eh.
Friggin' Nintendo, their prices never drop.
Yeah. So whatever.
It's kinda crazy.
Funny to me. The contrast. Like, this system isn't even out now. This is like 6 systems ago. Oh, well.
The beauty of the 3DS being compatible with all DS games is that the value holds.
Don't wait too long. When you see it go out of print or the price start to creep, just grab it. Because I was looking for Ruler Rose, 7 years ago? I found it for $60. I'm like, I can find it cheaper than that. Now the cheapest is like $200.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's an
old PS2 game, and that was a niche title to begin with, where Mario games, they're always going to be popular.
Yeah, but at some point, every game's going to either go up in price or just disappear.
True.
That's just an inevitability.
I mean, look at Ocarina of Time for the 3DS. That thing went out of print and was getting over $100 online. Canada got a reprint of it, and people were doing doing group buys on Reddit, and they would buy like 50 copies of it and then just send it out to people in the States who wanted the game but didn't want to pay a ridiculous price for it. And I think I got mine for $50 from that person up in Canada, which for you know, they eventually did a reprint in America, and it's still a $40 game. So getting it months before the American reprint from Canada for only 10 bucks more, that seemed pretty fair. Plus, it gave them a couple of bucks for their work. It's Nintendo games are crazy.
Right. I guess at that point, you know, when you're looking at reprints and especially like PS2 era games where they'll never exist anymore, like at that point, I don't feel bad pirating it and emulating it at all. It's sort of like, okay, it's just not available for me to buy. And the developers who originally made the game, you know, it's all secondary market. Like they're not getting any more money from it. So at that point, I have no qualms with it. It's essentially abandoned where. At that point, so
I told everyone for years,
you know, that was my white whale.
I told everyone for years, I'd be like, oh man, have you ever played Earthbound? They'd be like, no, nah, man. It's like, well, just pirate the game because you can't get it for under $300 these days, and now it's out on the virtual console. So now when people are like, oh man, I never played Earthbound, it's like, do you have a Wii U? Yeah, it's $10, buy it. And now it's coming out for the 3DS.
Finally, companies are figuring out like, oh, hey, all we have to do is make this stuff available and people will buy it.
Yeah.
Like, and which is really cool because, you know, lots of old games, you know, even on Steam, like I was looking at Heroes of Might and Magic 3, you know, I could buy that on Steam. And there's like, we just have to make this available. We'll do a patch. You know, that it makes it compatible with either modern operating systems or whatever. And so they're finally, you know, just sort of like, as long as we put it out there, people will pay for it. Like, it's only when it's not available. Well, it's not only when it's not available, but when it's not available, people will just pirate it and whatever.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
I mean, hell, didn't Blizzard just update Diablo 2 to be compatible with Windows 10?
Yeah. And that's awesome.
That's awesome. That'll be more people playing Diablo 2. just good games.
Letting that sink in.
Good games are going to be good games forever.
Yeah, they are. They really don't lose value.
I'll argue that, and that good games can become hard to play.
Yeah, true.
How so?
Like, I did, like, I bought the Rare Replay Pack, but I found a lot of the older games. I was just looking at them. I'm like, I personally can't play this game because the gameplay and the graphics are just so.
Here's a good example: Final Fantasy VII.
Okay.
Trying to play the original PlayStation release of that now, it is ugly.
Yeah, game, it's got charm.
That game didn't age well at all visually, and even some of the gameplay elements are hard to play, which is why with the PS4. Version of the PC re-release, you know, they added, you know, faster walking, the quicker battles, like sped up battles, instant kills in battles, turn off random battles. Because if you try playing Final Fantasy VII these days on the PlayStation, the original release, every four steps is a random battle in that game.
You know, I just replayed through that like 6 months ago, and you know what? That game is still awesome. I'm gonna be the naysayer here. Like, random battles, like, they're a mechanic. They're a real thing. Like, turning them off is... I like random battles, honestly.
Like them, but in that game, they were too frequent, and the loading times were atrocious.
I played it on a PS2, so I guess I didn't notice incredibly long loading times.
I think PS2 sped up the loading times a bit.
Yeah.
And the only thing I can say though, in like my point of view to it is, you played it when it came out, right?
Yes, I did.
So you had fond memories of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't have a console. My first console, I bought a GameCube when I was 21 years old, living in Japan. So okay. I didn't have any fond memories of the 16-bit era to fall back on. So the first time I played them, it was like, ugh. It's like I can totally see why people enjoy this, but. With my limited time, I'd rather play the new stuff than jump back at all these. You know, all those guys have great fond memories of it. It's just something I'm going to have to miss out on because I can't play these games in the modern era and look at the graphics and deal with janky play.
I mean, I think the gameplay is there. And the graphics, honestly, so I'm be a jerk here and just, you know, presented an opposite opinion. So, like, yeah, the low poly, you know, figures, like, those are super ugly. They have a lot of weirdo charm to them. If you're, I mean, I make low resolution art on a Game Boy, essentially.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of in tune with that sort of aesthetic.
And when I say janky, when I say janky gameplay, I don't mean Final Fantasy specifically. I'm kind of talking about a lot of the games in the era were a little like go back and play original Qbert. You know, you're going to break your screen.
Go play something like Jumping Flash.
And to be fair, the backgrounds on Final Fantasy VII are awesome. They're absolutely gorgeous.
Those pre-rendered backgrounds are still good today.
They are. And so when I was playing through it, I found myself admiring those pre-rendered backgrounds, you know, very much. I think they're fantastic. The low poly, you know, character models are hilariously bad, but you know, they have a certain charm to them, you know.
I still enjoy in Final Fantasy VII when you would see the pre-rendered backgrounds switch over to an FMV and you could like see that film grain kick in, and you're controlling that low poly just thing, that blob on this gorgeous looking FMV video. That still blew my mind back then.
Oh yeah, super cool. What was I thinking of? So I can relate to you guys with Star Fox. So I played Star Fox 64 first, and I thought that game was super smooth. I had to play the original Star Fox, and it was like the lowest like level polygons at like 15 frames per second. And I was like, I don't know if this is fun. Like, this hurts me to look at.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people,
Star Fox.
Yeah.
You might be right. There might be some truth to what you're saying.
Because I went from a Game Boy to a GameCube.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Once I'm playing stuff on the GameCube, it's like, dude, you really got to check out, you know, Final Fantasy Tactics. I'm like, okay. I actually picked it up. I put it in. I start playing. I'm like, I died 3 times in the tutorial.
Tactics is amazing. Fuck you.
But I'm saying, if you played it when it came out, it was probably amazing.
No, Tactics is still amazing. It's hard.
But since I never played it and I had no idea where to go, I went, you know what, fuck this. I'm going to play more Halo 3.
Tactics is hard. I will give you that. Tactics is very hard. But it's like people who were mad that GoldenEye wasn't included in Rare Replay. It's like that game doesn't really hold up well. It was incredible at the time, and it was incredibly revolutionary at the time, but it doesn't hold up.
I mean, especially first person shooters is like a genre that's been so refined over the last decade. Like, that's probably more money has went into first person shooters than like any other game genre.
Yeah,
I feel like that says something about us as a society, but
yeah, we like murder,
I guess. Yeah. Oh well. Honestly, though, like it's not the first player campaigns. It's the way that first person shooters work as a multiplayer game, and then the development of the internet and to allow, you know, non local play. I think that's the ticket right there. Like, it's not that first person shooters are better; they just lend themselves to multiplayer, you know, just super well. Like, nobody goes and gets Call of Duty and then it's like, oh, I'm only playing it for the single player campaign. Like, I don't know.
What's funny though with that is Counter-Strike is still one of the more incredibly popular FPSs out there, which just blows my mind.
Is it still?
Yeah, there's still people playing. I watched, I follow a couple of streamers on YouTube, and they're still putting out fucking Counter-Strike videos.
No, they are not. Is it like a new version of it, or is it still
it's updated graphics. It's cleaner, but it's still.
Is it Counter-Strike Go? Yeah. So it's just Global Offensive.
I had a friend who dropped out of college because of Counter-Strike.
God, like, damn.
yeah. Because of college, I was like, these are too good. Like, I won't be able to handle my life if I have all these systems and like I'm playing all the time. So I actually kind of avoid video games, and this PS4 has been a kind of a big step for me. Just saying. Sounds sad, but I live my life in fear of the video game drug.
No, that's my first MMO was you had to dial in the server, and it was all text-based, and I played it so much they promoted me to a programmer for the game. And wow. Then I'm 18, you know, I'm a senior in high school. About a third of the way through my senior year, I was just like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, my brother and I are fighting over who gets the computer. I've got a girlfriend. I've got a job. I've got friends. Why am I not out there with them? And right. So I quit the game, and I refuse to play an MMO. To this day, I've never touched another MMO.
You understand the power.
Yeah.
Addiction is crazy.
Yeah. I can play any other type of game, but my rule is the game has to have some sort of ending.
Makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's why I like single-player campaigns. That's why I like I was playing through Uncharted. I also got GTA 5, but I wasn't playing it yet because I'm like, oh, man, GTA 5 is like a swimming pool that turns into an ocean. Like,
yeah. Don't go online with that or you're gone forever.
Some people, they just get sucked into GTA Online. It's crazy.
So that's online? How does that work?
It's kind of like a completely separate game. There's Grand Theft Auto 5 and then GTA Online, which takes place in the same world, but it's kind of like an open-ended online experience where you're in the same area. I think it could be up to like 16 players on a server. You could set up doing heists and just fucking around. I never really got into the online portion of it just because of trolls in the game who would just grief you like crazy. I would just want to play that with my friends, and that's
right.
It.
I got you. I did not know that was a thing, but yeah, I got GTA 5. It was on sale like right after I got my PS4. I was like, I know I want to play this game, so I'll just pick it up.
Yeah, it's good stuff, but GTA Online just didn't click with me.
That's all right. I learned I can skip that, I guess.
Anything else that you're looking forward to coming out?
Let me think really quickly about that.
I'm going to assume Uncharted 4.
You know what? I'm going to play through 3. I haven't played 3 yet, but 1 and 2, they're pretty great. I probably will wait for it to go down in price a little bit. I'm not going to get it like on release. I'm probably going to pick up a bunch of indies. I need to pick up Rocket League and play the hell out of that because Rocket League is awesome.
Yes, it is.
I've played that a little bit at people's houses. So Rocket League I need to pick up. I want to pick up – I mean, this is all old stuff, but Axiom Verge I want to check out. I want to check out Undertale finally. Everyone's been – talking about that incessantly. So but
I don't think that's on PlayStation.
Really? Oh,
I'm pretty sure that's only on Steam.
Probably... Oh, well, I'll figure it out. Whatever.
Yeah, I've heard so much about it, but I'm not a PC gamer. So.
Final Fantasy, when that comes out, 15, is it? Or is it 14? I don't even know anymore.
15's the one coming out. 14 is the MMO, but that is on PlayStation 4.
I don't want the MMO. I don't want none of that. So yeah, 15, because it'll have an ending.
Yes.
Like Pappy said, I'm probably going to be more focused on single player stuff, except for Rocket League, which
I need to get on more Rocket League. I watch people play it, and I'm like, oh, that's so much fun. Why am I not doing this right now?
So I didn't know, but a buddy of mine is a developer for that game.
Really?
I just found out recently. Yeah, and he said that the Konami code does something. I don't know what it does.
If you do it on, I believe, the splash screen or like the credits in the beginning, it changes the music to that of, what was the PS3 game? Like Super Battle Cars or whatever the PS3 game was. And then it's supposed to unlock a... like the little stone head from Gradius as one of the toppers for your vehicle. I don't know if that's in the Xbox version yet. I know the code works to change the music, but I don't know if that the car topper is in the Xbox version yet.
You get the super acrobatic rocket-powered battle car startup screen.
Yes.
Does not work on the PS4 version of the game.
Oh, no? Oh, whatever. Fuck that.
Or at least not when this came out in January, so maybe they fixed it.
Okay. I will personally message the developer so that I can do it. Like, listen, you need to push an update stat.
Fuck, tell him to come on our show. I'd love to talk to someone from Rocket League on here.
Right?
That game is so goddamn good.
He's in Japan right now, so I'll have to wait to get back. But so I don't know. Maybe he'll be hanging out with Rocket League dudes. He was at MAGFest.
Was he? That's cool.
Yeah, I didn't even know. Like, it's funny because I never checked. There was this PS4 thread at this. And I never checked it because I didn't have a PS4. And then when I finally got a PS4, I was checking out the forum. And they were talking about Rocket League. And he's like, yeah, I work on Rocket League. And blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh, my God.
That's crazy. Yeah.
The internet is insane.
It's crazy to see where all our friends that we've known for years are popping up now.
Yeah.
Different friends of ours working at different game companies. You're going to be in Just Shapes and Beats.
Right. I'm in Mighty Number 9.
Are you?
Yeah. Megaran and I did the end credits song, actually.
That is awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. So, I was on tour with Megaran, and he's like, oh, I got to finish this song in 2 weeks for Mighty Number 9. And I was like, you know you're putting me on that song, right? And he's like, all right. Can you get it done in a week? I was like, yeah, I can make it happen. So
that's awesome as hell.
Yeah. So that's how that shit works. Like, you just happen to be hanging out with somebody who's doing something, and you're like, hey. And they're like, yeah, you want in? And you're like, yeah. And that's like the industry right there.
That's cool as shit. Yeah, that's cool that you're going to be in Mighty Number 9. I didn't know that.
Yeah, kind of a cool credit. So, when people ask me, what games have you written music for? You know, I can actually say something that they might have heard of as opposed to some shitty iPhone game or something like that. So
what shitty iPhone games are you in?
Oh, man. So there's one called City Surfing. It's really bad. The music is awesome. Just for the record, I killed it. It's only two songs, but whatever. I did one for Cookie Dough Bites. You know, you ever go to Regal Theaters and get a package of Cookie Dough Bites candy?
Yes.
I think it's called something Candycade. It's like a candy arcade casino or something.
Oh my god.
Fucking terrible, but it's for Cookie Dough Bites. And so I did a bunch of music for that game. I did some zombie shooting game that's really bad. There might be one more, I don't remember.
I want you to send me some of those songs to play on this show too.
Yeah, I can, man.
Just some of the crazy shit that has never been released anywhere.
Yeah, there's a couple of tracks I've randomly thrown on SoundCloud, but for the most part, it's mostly unreleased stuff. There's two or three games that I did stuff for. They've gotten development. They even paid me, and then the games just died during development. It's funny though, the internal documents were so bad, the design documents. They were like, yeah, you know this other game? Just rip off all of that. And so I probably had the most creative control out of anybody in the entire project. And they were all designed to get people to do in-app purchases and whatever. They were just jobs for me. But
that's incredible.
I've done some better stuff since then, but that's a thing.
Yeah, like the album that just came out 2 weeks ago. Hey, we're coming back full circle.
Yeah, and a couple of those songs are in video games too. There's Long Live the New Fresh is in Just Shapes and Beats, like you know, but Red Planet is in a mobile game called A Baseball Apocalypse.
Oh my god, that sounds incredible.
It's not bad. The developers spent significantly less time on it than his last game. but whatever. And then there's another one that's in a game. I can't remember off the top of my head. What songs are on this album? Let me think for a second.
What's on the album I just put out?
What is on the album that I just put out? There's something else. Oh, man. I can't remember.
Interlude. Is that?
Oh, keep going.
Axis, Lunaria, Long Live the New Fresh, Collision Event, Behemoth, Red Planet, Surveillance.
Oh, Behemoth. Behemoth started as boss music for the game Jump Jet Rex, which you can play on.
That's right. We were just talking with David Sterling, and we were talking about Jump Jet Rex, and he mentioned that you were in the game. I should have remembered that.
Yeah, so I did a couple tracks for that. I think I did the menu music. I did some two boss tracks and like a couple other things. I did all the end credits stuff. It's me and another Game Boy artist that did it. So, but the boss music, Behemoth, is actually an extended version of that song that I sort of took it. And I was like, yo, I pretty much emailed them and I was like, hey, this song is cool. Can I like do more with it? And they're like, yeah, do whatever you want. Because I started off doing some stuff and I was like, you know, there's pretty cool ideas. I kind of wish I had fleshed them out a little bit more. But, because, you know, when you're doing a game song, it's sort of like, here's a minute of music. And, you know, it's actually kind of nice where you're like, I don't have to write a whole song. I just have to write, like, an excerpt of a song, you know, something that loops. And so it's sort of like writing only a couple sections. It's like a sketch of something that could be a full song. I guess that's what I did in Arm Cannon, is try to, you know, take a sketch of music that was, you know, background music to a game and turn it into a full song. But whatever. So yeah, Behemoth, Long Live the New Fresh, and Red Planet are all in games. Actually, they're all licensed for games. So
I'm gonna have to get the Jump Jet Rex songs off of you, because David Sterling of Loot Interactive is actually gonna be back on our show on April 28th, because that's when the game's coming out. And
What? Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello? I think the call glitched for a second.
Oh yeah, that happened.
So what did you say?
Dude, I've actually only heard every other word for the last 10 minutes. I'm just waiting for Skype to get better.
That works.
Oh. But you're coming through loud and clear for me.
Yeah, I was saying that he's coming back. David Sterling's coming on the 28th because Jump Jet Rex is coming out next month. And then you said wait, and then it just went silent.
Oh, I don't think I meant to say wait. I'm sorry. I'm messing up your program, dog.
Oh, shit's crazy. Between Skype and you, god damn it.
But I just signed on to do another soundtrack. It's not announced yet, but there's a game called Bardbarian, and there's a sequel to it coming out. So I'll be doing like Viking metal for that.
Oh, god, that's going to be incredible.
Yeah. And I had to do some negotiation, not to get too into like business or whatever, but I was kind of tired of like doing game soundtracks and then not being able to release the material. So I negotiated with them so I'd be able to release it. I was like, yeah, I want to be able to do this and then actually put it out so people can hear it. So, I mean, for the most part, devs are cool, especially independent devs. But sometimes I had to sign some crappy contracts, you know, with the law getting down on my music or whatever. I guess they're paying me for a service, whatever.
Whatever, money.
Yeah, I'll have to check out that Bardbarian game and maybe talk with those guys too.
Yeah. So,
because that sounds
that
pretty cool.
Be happening. Yeah. The original game was pretty popular. I'm not super familiar with it, but I'll be doing music for the sequel.
Nice. Yeah.
Although I haven't started yet, so maybe it won't happen. Who knows? Who knows?
You've just been replaced by Mega Beardo.
Yeah, it's very possible. Mega Beardo's great.
He replaces everyone for everything.
Yeah, he does. He did Lonely Rolling Stars and Viking Guitar. I don't know.
Oh, hey, Chris just walked in.
What's up, homos?
Who's
on the call?
Danimal's on the call.
Oh, what's up, not homo?
Yeah, I am so heterosexual.
Oh, my God.
Good album there, not homo. So.
Thank you.
He said thank you, by the way.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
He has thoroughly enjoyed your album, so.
Aww.
As we all have.
People are responding well to it. I was a little scared, you know. I had that that track, like, specifically Surveillance. Like, I did vocals for the first time. And I was like, oh, man, no one's going to like this. They're all just going to be like, can you stick to doing the thing you did before? Because the album was a little bit of a
I really like Surveillance. I thought that one was awesome.
I feel like if you like, you know, 90s industrial at all, you were like, okay, I know where this is going. But if you're not into that, then you might not get what I was trying to do with that, which is totally fine.
And that's not the first time I've heard you do vocals.
We cannot talk about my other times that I did vocals. We don't have to talk about that.
I'll just say crabcore.
I've done some obnoxious parody vocals before, but
that song is still one of my favorite songs ever, by the way.
I'm glad that I was able to.
What's the name? The music industry is bullshit, and so is this song.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I was just having some fun. But this is my first time trying to do something seriously, so
that's
I'm
good.
Glad it wasn't a total.
I loved it. I loved it.
Thank you, man. I took some chances on this album. You know, it's funny. I had a couple people be like, "I don't like these vocals," not necessarily from me, even from the other singer that I had, who's like a professional opera singer, where I'm like, well, at the very least they'll be like, she does good at things, you know, she's a good singer. Meanwhile, but now some people are like, I don't want vocals, I don't, you know, we're like, all right, whatever, you know, you can't please everybody. But I took some chances on this record, and I'm glad that people are, you know, are digging it.
Yeah, I think
you
Surveillance
can't please
is one
everybody
of the high
and
points.
It's not worth it. That's the other yeah. thing. It's just not right, worth trying to make you? Everyone happy.
Yeah. This is our second episode. We did one show at 8, and now this one we started at 9:30.
What the fuck's wrong with you?
A lot.
Yeah, I'm asking the same thing. We still got to get through, like, fucking...
Okay,
shit.
All right. No, because I was just like, I walked in. Here.
No one can... yeah.
Since nobody can hear me, I'll get close. I walked into the house.
You are peeking the microphone.
Well, here, I'll back up a bit. sorry. I walk into the house and I'm just like, oh, okay, he's recording the podcast Thursday. Sorry, I couldn't make it. Da, da, da. But then I look at my watch and I'm like, wait a minute, it's 10:50. Like, did you really start at 8 o'clock and you're still going?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, all right.
Yep. Yeah, well, maybe we'll wrap it up soon. I'll get some munchies and I still need to eat some stuff.
Yeah, Pappy's pissed because we still have other shit to do. So
no, I'm not pissed. I'm contemplating playing Trials on mute.
Hey, gotcha.
Do what you gotta do, Pappy. But yeah, we've been talking with you for over an hour now, so I guess we're gonna let you get going.
All right.
It has been fantastic chatting with you. You've got to come back sooner than in 2 years.
Yes.
Because you are fun as hell to chat with, and Chris is mad
that he
missed out on this.
Oh.
He keeps talking to me even though I have headphones on and no one can hear him over the mic. So, but yeah, it's been a pleasure talking with you. We're going to be playing 3 of your songs at the end of this. Axis,
awesome.
Lunaria, featuring the opera singer that you mentioned, Emily Yancey, and Surveillance, your other vocal track, which I love, so I'm going to play it. And I know in the past we have played Long Live the New Fresh in the past. We played Behemoth in the past. We have played The Music Industry's Bullshit in the past. we just loved Danimal on the show. And to this day, you still have my all-time favorite video game remix in Rockin' on Heaven's Door.
Oh, thank you, man. I was just thinking about that song today.
That song off of Chronotorious. I still get goosebumps when I listen to that song.
You know, sometimes the magic just happens, man, when you're doing stuff. So I'm glad that, you know, that song is still, you know, touching your heart. Or
indeed.
Whatever the fuck
that one, like other people try to cover that song now and it's pointless. It is legitimately pointless for other people. You didn't ruin it. You perfected it.
Oh, thank you, man.
You really have. And I think I'm going to play that song at the end, too, just because I love it so much.
You do what you want, man. You do you.
So thank you again for coming on and chatting with us. Do you have any final words, or do you want to pimp yourself out? How can people get in touch with you and talk with you?
You can hit me up at Twitter, at ArmCannon, or Facebook. Just search for Danimal Cannon. Those are usually pretty good. Bandcamp has a contact form on there, too. I'm only the only person in Danimal Cannon, and I don't have, like, a management service yet, although we'll see about that in the future. But so anything you send to me online, you know, I'm going to see. I'm going to be the guy reading that. So don't send anything too hateful. I had to cuss a guy out the other day who didn't like the way I ended a song. And I was like, all right, guy, you're weird. Anyways, it's kind of complicated. But I do read everything, so feel free to send me a message online. I'd love to hear from you, unless you're talking shit. Then you can keep it to yourself.
First Rockstar purchase was the PSVR. Second Rockstar purchase is going to be a manager.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
All right, Danimal, it was awesome talking to you. Thanks for joining us, and hopefully we hear from you again very soon.
Thank you, guys.
Have a good one.
Thank you.
Oh, I love Danimal.
All right.
Now,
my ass is asleep.
Now to continue on with the rest of our show.
Yeah, now I got to piss like a racehorse. So, hey, Joe, why don't we really quick just review a game so I can go take a pee break?
Sounds good. First game to review this week is going to be Joe Deaver's Lone Wolf Console Edition, developed by Forge Reply, published by 505 Games. Came out on the PS4 and the Xbox One March 16th for $14.99. Actually doing a giveaway in a little bit for two copies of that game for the PlayStation 4. I picked it up myself on the Xbox One because, as mentioned earlier, if a game comes out on both platforms, I'm going to get the Xbox version. But since we got the giveaway, I am doing this review because the game is absolutely outstanding. If this kind of game is up your alley, this is not so much a game as it is, I don't want to say a visual novel. It is a digital novel with video game elements interspersed within it. The game is based off of an old book series. I forget what the original name of the series was, the Magnamund Chronicles, or I don't remember, but they were the Lone Wolf books. If you've ever read one, they're from, I want to say, late 80s, early 90s, a series of choose your own adventure novels. There were, I want to say, 25 or so books that came out. And this is basically a digital version of a whole new story. And to make it more video game-like, they've added in battles that can happen through the story. They've added in little mini-games that can happen, like lock-picking. There's inventory management and quick-time events that can happen in the game. But for the most part, this is straight up a novel. The game is not really voice-acted. You are going to be doing a lot of reading because it is based on a novel. It still has the interactive choice. Yes. Thank you for chiming in there.
Yeah. See, I'm helping.
Yeah. I don't know where I was. being that it's a choose your own adventure, being that's based off of choose your own adventure novels, routinely through the story, it'll say something happens and they'll give you a number of different choices. Some of the choices might not be available based on your character build and what skills you've chosen. Some might come down to your inventory, what items you have. But everything basically comes down to what you do. The story will change based on the actions that you choose. If you have ever in your life read a Choose Your Own Adventure book, you need to buy this game. It originally released on Steam in an episodic format. This is all four acts wrapped up in one $15 package. This is 100% a must own. If you are not into novels, don't buy it, because you're not going to like it. again, this isn't a visual novel where there's like a lot of story sequences and videos and all that. This is at times walls of text that you will be reading, and it's not voice acted. So again, a lot of reading in this. But
how much?
$15.
No, how much reading?
A lot. Okay. Do you have any other questions?
No.
You're mumbling again.
Oh, that's because I'm laying down because my ass is asleep.
Well, you need to like be into this. I know. It's been a long night.
No. I thought the mic was close enough.
No, it wasn't. Not at all.
Well, lesson learned.
Although the audio is already fucked up because Chris came over and like screamed into the microphone.
Sure. So, hey, email contest.
Yeah, since we just talked about Lone Wolf, as I mentioned, we have two PS4 codes to give away for the game. How about we give two people some codes?
All right. Jordan Phipps writes, "Hey, Joe and Pappy, I'd love to win... I'd love to win John Denver's Lone Wolf." Now I keep saying that. John Denver Lone Wolf, despite not owning a PS4. If I won, I would give it to my friend Gary. He's a big PS4 fan and trophy hunter who I met online when looking to trade Animal Crossing Fruit on GameCube. It's been that long. Turns out he was a couple hours away. We've gotten together a few times since then. He made it down to my place for my surprise birthday party in November, and I'd love to give him something for being so awesome. Thanks.
That's awesome.
Pablo Andres Barriga Camacho. Hey, guys. I wanted to express my interest in wanting the PS4 version of Lone Wolf. That game is so cool. Never have I seen a game portray a narrative in such an interactive way. I would appreciate it immensely. Kind regards, Pablo.
Nice.
And
nice.
Daniel.
Daniel, win again.
Sometimes being a lone wolf is not always a bad thing. I like to travel light, and a pack of wolves can attract the wrong type of attention. Makes it easier to sneak around and avoid the risk of being detected.
That's it?
Yep. Three people.
Three people,
codes.
Two codes. So, shit.
None of them really, like, yeah, I'm being critical. None of them really blow me away with, like, oh, fuck yeah, that's, like, the clear bestest.
I kind of like Pablo because he kind of knows what the game is. And that it's
fair.
Fully narrative, and he understands what he'll be getting into. So it's not like he's like, oh, I like action games.
You guys gave me a book reading simulator. You're assholes.
And I kind of like Jordan wanting to give it to his friend and hooking up a friend who is a PS4 owner. And Jordan kind of missed out on a couple of contests. So I think.
Yeah, but
didn't
we just not give it to somebody because they said they were going to give the code to someone else?
No, they wanted to make sure someone else didn't win.
No. Hold on.
Or they were going to give it away in a, like, they were just going to give it away. This guy, like, he's rewarding.
Oh, either give away or trade. Okay.
Yeah, this guy wants to give it to a friend that he's known and, like, who came to a surprise birthday party and all that. I'm kind
this
of touched
is,
by
no,
that one.
No, this is the same person.
Okay.
I'm just saying, you know, it's Jordan wanted Spareware to either give away or trade, and now Jordan wants Lone Wolf to give to a friend, Gary.
To give to a specific friend, not to give away.
Okay, no, I mean, like I said, I'm non-committal, so you don't have to justify yourself to me. So.
And I think Daniel doesn't really understand what the game is, so.
Well, but he wanted to be a Lone Wolf.
Well, since you're non-committal, I'm going to say that Jordan and Pablo are two winners for this one.
All right.
Sound good?
I'm not committal.
Yeah, I know you're not. You're also a terrible person.
I'm still playing Cookie Clicker.
Really?
Yeah.
God damn. All right. Yeah. Our final contest is for the game Magnets, Fully Charged from Total Monkery. We actually got a decent number of entries for this, despite the fact that we announced the giveaway yesterday, because they wanted to make sure that all their giveaways had dedicated times so that they could pimp them out. And to their credit, they retweeted every single post I made about the giveaway. So rock on to Total Monkery. And we got a decent number of entries here. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I count here.
For how many copies?
We have 2 codes to give away.
Oh, shit balls. All right.
Indeed. So our first one here is from Gavin Dean, who says, it was basically just tell us why you want it and our favorite to win it. He said the game looks fun and would love to try it. Simple, sweet. Looks fun. Next is from Katrina Carlson. Writing this down. The game, this looks like a great little game. I'd be more than happy to give it a go. Great game. If they're all like this, I might end up just doing random number draw or something. Next is from Nolan Chase. He says, I love trying out new indie games. Hope to win a code for this as it looks like a fun, quirky game. Loves indies.
Well, hey, that's more specific. And they did say it looks quirky.
Next one is from Daniel Wynn. Again, he says, I'd like a code for magnets fully charged because I feel like I am fully charged and absolutely magnetized at the chance at playing this game.
Well, he's on the top of my leaderboard.
Jake Cooper again. Jake C. He's the one who said, I'd take a code for either game. Both look fun and I'm poor. Help a friend out. So poor. I like how I said it again, because this episode's going to air first. final entry is from Tembo Elephant. Welcome back, Tembo. He says, I'd like to play this game so I can finally answer the long-held question, magnets, how do they work?
All right.
God damn it.
Yeah, I'm voting for Daniel and Tembo because they both have magnet jokes.
It sounds good to me. I picked the last two winners, so you got these two. Yeah. So Daniel Wynn and Tembo, not Timbo, Tem, like the game, oh. Tembo the elephant, Tembo the badass elephant.
What the hell are you talking to?
You, because you said Timbo.
Okay.
So Daniel Wynn, Tembo Elephant, congrats. You are our two winners for Magnets Fully Charged.
Oh.
If you did not win a game this week, do not fear, because next week we will have 2 more games to give away. We have the game No Time to Explain, which is releasing on the PS4 next week from our friends at Tiny Build. We have 1 code to give away. We just want you to send us an email at thesmlpodcast@gmail.com and tell us something unexplainable.
Me being on this show.
So I'm expecting some fairly offbeat answers next week. And then
I didn't even get a chuckle out of that?
No, not at all, because I don't like you. Oh. Our other giveaway is going to be for another new game releasing next week called Griffin Knight Epic. I have put a little bit of time into it so far. Going to do a full review on it next week, but it's a pretty fun side-scrolling shooter. I don't want to say bullet hell because it's not really helly, but it's fun. And there's a lot of RPG-ish elements to it. So, speaking of Tiny Build, have you heard some of the news about Punch Club?
Yeah, the pirating?
Yeah, so far, Punch Club from Tiny Build has sold 300,000 copies, which is impressive as hell. 300,000 copies. The bad news is that the game, to date, has been pirated 1.6 million times.
Yeah, that's... See, I understand pirating happens, but that is just offensive.
Yeah, that is...
It's only a $10 fucking game to begin with.
And we gave it away, which is even more disgusting. Over 1.1 million times have happened on PC, Mac, and Linux... And then 500,000 times on mobile. So
yeah, I think, honestly, what that tells me is it's not worth making a fucking Android game.
Especially because in their stats, they said 90% of the mobile piracy is Android. For every Android sale, there are 12 pirates.
Because to be completely honest, that's – and our mutual friend Josh was telling me years and years ago that part of the reason it's so hard to get your game on Apple iOS is because you have to go through a shit ton of stuff to get the game on it. But on their side, your game is there, and it's really fucking hard to pirate it.
I mean, there's still iOS pirates. They said for every iOS sale, there's two pirates, but that's not nearly as bad as 12.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then on PC for every sale, there's four pirates. I mean, it's Android. I wouldn't fuck with Android. Fuck that. I mean, it's such an easy market to get into, but it's just.
It also upsets me because this is a super fun $10 game. You're not sticking it to the man and fucking getting Call of Duty for free or some bullshit. You're taking a game that was – a lot of work went into it for anyone who's played this game. Man, there's so much little stuff in the game. You fight the fucking ninja crocodiles that are just clearly, you know, ninja turtles. There's so much reference in there and humor, and it's still a solid game. And you're saying, fuck you, I can't spend $10. If you pirated – well, if you pirate games in the first place, like Daniel was talking about, if it's not an out-of-print game, you're being kind of a tool.
Yeah.
And hey, especially if you're pirating.
We've all done shit
in the past.
I've pirated shit in the past, and I have more than moved on from that, given my game library these days. And most of it was all emulation stuff. But if you're still doing it these days, come the fuck on.
And I understand that some people don't have the money. I understand if you don't have the $10, but shit, dude. Like, I don't know what to say other than. Shit, dude. And if you did have the $10 and you pirated it, then you're just an asshole.
Yeah.
Grow up.
Even some developers are like, listen, if you can't afford it and you still want to play it, we understand. But if you have the money, buy a copy.
I have a hard time believing that 1.2 million people
1.6.
didn't have the money.
1.6.
So, yeah, 1.6 million people didn't have the money for it.
And Android users, you can all go fuck yourself. For pirating 90% of the mobile piracy being on Android, that's just go to hell.
Yeah.
That sucks. If you pirated this on Android, you're on my shit list. I hate you.
Yeah. Hey, here's an open source phone. Oh, cool. I'm going to use it to steal shit. That's not what we meant.
Yeah. And then even more interesting is once they added Brazilian Portuguese language to the game, Brazil became the top pirating country. Well,
I actually learned today that Brazil and China have similar laws where it's actually a gray zone to pirate and steal.
China was third place behind Russia for pirating.
Well, Russia, I mean, come on. What? There's a large percentage of all fucking piracy, any legal shit online comes from Russia.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently Brazil and China have similar laws in that if you pirate software of any kind, they really can't punish you for it. So, unfortunately, it looks like a lot of people take advantage of that.
Yeah. It's fucked up, but what are you going to do? Some more bad news is that Evolution Studios, the creators of MotorStorm and Drive Club, have been shut down by Sony. I know Drive Club had a rough launch, but the MotorStorm series was fantastic. It's a shame to see them shut down, and especially if it's because of the Drive Club launch fiasco, especially since they were working on a PlayStation VR version of Drive Club. They said that any plans for that are still in the hands of PlayStation, so it's possible it could still come out, but it always sucks to see studio shut down.
Yeah. That's all I got. Yeah. So, what else we got on our plate here? I'm sending you a link. This is over. Just so you can cheer up after all that negativity.
Yeah. Well, there is some good news coming out, especially for Xbox owners, because I focus on Xbox news, obviously. EA Access owners are going to be able to get a new game on March 29th. NHL 16 is going to join the vault, so hockey fans can rejoice. Some more good Xbox news is that this week, five new games have joined the ranks of backward compatible or backwards compatibility and are now playable on the Xbox One, including Dark Void, Grid 2, the original Assassin's Creed, Tekken Tag Tournament 2, which is on sale right now for $5 if you don't have it, and Dark Souls.
I will probably grab Tekken Tag Tournament because that's just a fun game.
Yeah, especially for only $5. So rock on for those five games joining it. And I think the best Xbox news to come out is today. They announced April's Xbox Games with Gold. And a couple of days ago, they teased about April blockbusters. They weren't fucking around.
April, so what do we got?
April's Games with Gold lineup might be the greatest free month of games ever for Games with Gold.
Wow.
On the Xbox 360, from April 1st to the 15th, Dead Space is free.
God damn it, I hate that game.
From April 16th through the 30th, Saints Row 4.
God damn it, I own that game.
And then on the Xbox One, for the entire month of April, is The Wolf Among Us, which many feel is one of the better Telltale games out there. Oh, I own all of these, so it's not about whether... it's not about whether you own them. It's about how good the lineup is. From April 16th... Go ahead.
Wolf Among Us is still my hands-down favorite Telltale game.
Yeah, so. And a lot of people feel the same way. So that joining for free the entire, six episodes?
Yeah.
And then starting April 16th through May 15th, Sunset Overdrive.
Oh, shit. If you don't have that, get it.
Yeah.
Good. I can go online again and get our asses kicked by new people.
So Dead Space, Saints Row 4, The Wolf Among Us, and Sunset Overdrive is just insane. At least I think so. So any thoughts on that? Chime in.
No, dude, that's just fucking awesome. Like, I'm good here.
And then for Telltale fans, they confirm that The Walking Dead Season 3 will debut this fall.
Yeah, and they're also working the Batman that's going to be coming out here.
Yeah,
in a
we talked
months.
About that last week briefly.
Happiness. Yeah. It's a good day to be in an Xbox owner.
Yeah, and
Bumble.
Last little bit of news is this week's Rock Band DLC is pretty good stuff. Off the Charts Pack 3 for you. There's 5 Seconds of Summer. She looks so perfect. You're a 5 Seconds of Summer fan, aren't you?
No, I have never heard of them.
Come on, you can just admit.
No, I've really never heard of them. I don't know who 5 Seconds.
I thought you were the one who was talking about how you tried telling all your friends and coworkers, "Oh yeah, you should check out 5 Seconds of Summer," and then everyone
was that them?
And then people are telling you, they're.
It wasn't people. It was one guy. I heard them perform live at a festival here 3 years ago. And I was like, hey, these guys are really good live. So I downloaded the music. I hadn't even listened to the album after I got it. And I was telling my coworker, hey, dude, I really dug their performance. Check them out. And he comes back the next day. He's like, yeah, they're like a boy band.
Yeah. Well, they have a song in Rock Band.
They're really good live. Yeah, they're really good live. I'll give them that.
Well, they have a song in Rock Band.
Saw them in between Adelita's Way and Aquabats.
Interesting.
So that was definitely a weird day of music.
The other two games included are Neon, or the other two songs included, Neon Trees, Everybody Talks, and Fallout Boy, My Songs Know What You Did in the Dark.
Fuck yeah, I'm getting that one.
Hell yeah.
Because I'm getting really sick of these fucking Green Day songs. I got to start padding my music.
Yeah, you should. You shithead. A couple more reviews to talk about. I don't think you played any of these, did you?
No.
Did you at least look up things about them, like Flame Break or Neon Chrome?
I am now.
God damn.
All right, so let's talk about Flame Break. Yeah, no, I watched these. I just forgot about them.
Flame Break, developed and published by Nimbly Games, released March 15th on Steam for $10. It's like a top-down, twin-sticky fantasy shooter roguelike thing.
Yeah, I said it looked kind of like the original Legend of Zelda games, that whole top-down stab things with a sword.
And you were, like, incredibly wrong, because it's like a wave-based, arena-based shooter.
Oh, no, it still looks like Legend of Zelda. It just doesn't
visually
play.
It just doesn't play like it at all.
Yeah, I was incredibly right about it. It looks like it.
Yeah, the game's really cool. Basically, you pick your hero, and you jump from area to area. The area loads up, and there's a handful of enemies there. You got to kill them off. And then you go to an overworld map, and you can choose where to go next. You're like another area that you have to clear out, or there could be a town where you could get equipment, shit like that. And the whole time that you're doing it, after each stage, there's like a mist or like a fog that can cover the area. And if you go to an area that's trapped in that fog, basically whatever you do doesn't count. You don't get any experience. You don't get any rewards from it. So you want to stay ahead of that fog. It's basically, so for people who feel like they need to clear an entire map, you're not going to. You got to keep moving, keep going from area to area. You can kind of get screwed in some of the later maps. Like, they could have mountain ranges and you could get trapped behind things. So you might have to backtrack through a fog area, which sucks because I've had that happen to me. The end of a map, you have a boss battle, you move on to a new world, and it's all roguelike, so if you die, it's game over. You start from the beginning, and you just keep going.
Yeah,
it's,
I'm glad you played that one. So
it's fun.
Buy it?
I'd say try it. It's fun, a cool little distraction. I'd like to see it come to consoles. I think it'd be cool.
All right, so what's the next game?
Next game is Neon Chrome, developed and published by the wonderful, wonderful people at Ton Tons Limited. We know them for their work on Tennis in the Face, Baseball Riot, the Sparkle series, Crimson Land. It is in, I think, closed beta right now. It's supposed to be releasing soon. That is a more, I'd say a grittier, more modern feel of a top-down shooter. This
is the one I said it looks like Contra.
Kind of.
That's how I compare games.
This one is all randomly generated, so every time you play, it's going to be completely different. You just go through. You have to shoot enemies and get power-ups and continue on. And when you die, it's basically like a new clone or a new person goes next. I asked if there's like a finite number of lives, and they told me no. So you just keep playing over and over. This feels like a true roguelike where you die and you can use what you earned to increase your skills or increase your abilities, unlock new abilities that your survivors can have, because each character, like, you could choose from two or three different characters with randomized abilities, equipment, stats, everything like that. It's very Rogue Legacy like in that you could choose from a handful of different people with their own unique stats and abilities, and you can unlock more abilities that those people could potentially have, or you can increase your strength, your health, shit like that. It is a blast. There's a lot of monster killing, a lot of thing killing, a lot of destructible environments, which can be fun.
It sounds really busy.
Since it's still in a beta state, I don't want to give it a full recommendation yet, but I would, if you could check it out, I'd say give it a try by any means. It's good stuff, fun stuff.
That's cool, so, man. Yeah, it sounds like you had a lot of fun playing this week. Indeed. I played games, just none of those.
Next game, technically I don't need to review this on the show, but I want to. It is Stranger of Sword City, developed and published by Experience Incorporated. It released March 22nd for $40. It is a first-person dungeon-crawling RPG. I actually got this game through a contest. a reviewing contest where you would sign up, and if you were chosen, you would get a digital copy of the game. So I've been playing it for a couple of weeks now. My full review is on Bleeding Cool, so feel free to head to Bleeding Cool and do a search for Stranger of Sword City. I will say that if you are a fan of old school dungeon crawling RPGs, like if you play the Etrian Odyssey series on the 3DS, or if you've picked up Demon Gaze, which is also made by Experience, you want to check this game out. It is a port of an older Xbox 360 game, which the fact that this is a role-playing game for the Xbox itself is a special kind of deal. The Vita version doesn't come out until next month, so it's out a month earlier on Xbox since it's published directly by the company on the Xbox. You definitely want to check this out. If you are a stickler and you must have a physical disc, you can import the Japanese version of the game, since the Japanese disc version still includes English subtitles. The American version is digital only, and even still, it is all Japanese language with English subtitles. It is gorgeous. There's two different art styles for the characters in the game. If you don't like permadeath, you might want to stay away, because your characters have different, like, they have their hit points, and if they die, they lose a life point, which most people only have like two or three of. And if you run out of life points, that character is dead. So it's kind of like a live system in a role-playing game. You can regenerate those, but it takes a long amount of in-game time. On the plus side, you can pretty much create new characters whenever you want for your party. You can have six people in your party at once. And you really need to balance and make sure that you have a good lineup going, depending on the area that you're in. Because if you go into a certain area unprepared, you're fucked. You will die a lot in this game. But yeah, if you're a fan of role-playing games and you own an Xbox One, buy it, please, so that we get more role-playing games on the Xbox One. Just the fact that this company developed it and released it themselves in America on the Xbox One, I want to support this, and I think the game is awesome as well. So check that one out. Final game to talk about, which I'm excited about this one, is Shadow Complex Remastered, developed by Chair Entertainment, published by Epic Games. We're covering a fucking Epic Games game on our show. It released March 16th for $14.99 on the Xbox One. It is coming to Steam and the PS4 in May. This Shadow Complex originally released as an Xbox 360 exclusive published by Microsoft. So this is the first time you're going to get it on the PS4. And the PC version released for free through Epic's own game launcher service, whatever. And if you missed out on that, it's coming to Steam in May. If you've ever played it on the Xbox 360, you know what it is. It is a Metroidvania-style game. That's more of a shooter instead of like Castlevania with whips and shit. You and your girlfriend are out like on a date, exploring an area, exploring some caves, and the girl gets captured, and it's up to you to find her and rescue her. And that, of course, leads to you exploring a gigantic enemy base with different areas and gigantic bosses. It has been widely regarded as one of the best indie titles on the Xbox 360, and that alone means that you should have already checked this out if you've ever owned an Xbox 360. If you've played it on the Xbox 360 and if you own it on the Xbox 360, this isn't necessarily a buy it, because there's not really much new content to it. It's still the same great game. The visuals are spruced up a little bit, but it's still the same game.
So it's definitely get your hands on it if you haven't played it before.
Yes, but if you have never played Shadow Complex Remaster or Shadow Complex before, buy the game. If you've been a PlayStation loyalist and you've never owned it, when it releases in May, buy it. If you already have it, the original game is backward compatible on the Xbox One, so you don't really need to buy it, but achievement hunters will have 1,000 new achievement points to get, and you're going to enjoy it. It's still, like, when we review games, I don't always have time to 100% every game that I do. I 100%ed Shadow Complex Remastered because I couldn't stop playing it. And I don't mean I beat the game. I 100%ed it in that I found all the hidden items in the game, all the collectibles. I got the completionist achievement for completing the game with 100% of the items, the map discovered, everything. I fucking love Shadow Complex. So, yeah, if you haven't played it, get the goddamn game. I think that's as good an answer. I buy it. If you've never played it, buy it. If you have played it, it's not necessary, but fuck it, buy it anyway. maybe we'll finally see Shadow Complex 2.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, what have you been playing?
I played that Don't Poop in My Soup. I beat Layers of Fear last week. Oh, I finally discovered that I finally had my own personal Steam error this week.
Nice.
We were supposed to stream my favorite game to bring up on the show, Who's Your Daddy, yesterday, and me and Kat. And she had version 0.9.9. I had version 0.9.6, and it would not let me update it.
Ha.
Uninstall, reinstall. There was no way to force an update. So we ended up playing an hour of Don't Starve Together. And successfully neither of us died because we ended the stream as I was being attacked by fishmen. So take that.
Do you have Don't Starve Giants on the Xbox One?
Rain? What?
Do you have Don't Starve Giants on Xbox One?
You mean Reign of Giants?
Just Don't Starve with the Giants expand, whatever it is. Do you have Don't Starve on the Xbox One?
No, I didn't know it was on Xbox.
Yes, it doesn't have the multiplayer stuff, but the game is on the console, and it's on sale this week for $7.50.
I do not like it solo. It's so much fun to play with friends, but I get bored solo so quick.
Well, you never know. They might bring the update to console, but I'm just saying that it's... it's on sale this week for $7.50. So,
let's put it this way: Don't Starve Together is still in beta, like 18 months later. So,
yeah,
I'm not waiting with bated breath. Let's put it that way.
You're not waiting with beta breath.
No. Otherwise, I spent most of my time doing homework and watching Daredevil, so I haven't played anything else. And I look forward to not playing much for the next week for the show.
Well, you could play Griffin Knight Epic. Is that what it is?
I will. I'll probably put like an hour and a half into that on Sunday morning and then go back to homework.
You better put a lot of time into it, since that's probably going to be the only thing you're playing for next week.
Dude, an hour and a half is a lot of my time.
I'm going to try getting that active soccer DX for you.
I have to do a research paper and read a book and write a review of that in the next 5 weeks. I have to do a thesis paper in 5 weeks, sir. we're talking 100 hours of work there. Yeah, 90 minutes in a video game will be a lot of my time.
Yeah, I'm going to try getting Active Soccer 2 for you to play.
Hey, I look forward to reviewing a lot of stuff in May. That's what You just have to bear with me through the rest of April. But anyhow, as we're ending the show, are we ready for the fortune cookies?
Yes, our final words this week are going to be fortune cookies read off by Pappy. And just a reminder to make sure if you want to get either No Time to Explain or Griffin Knight Epic to shoot us an email at thesmlpodcast@gmail.com. For No Time to Explain, just tell us something you can't explain. And for Griffin Knight Epic, tell us why you want it. And we'll be picking our winners next week on the show. Music is going to be from Danimal Cannon. And Pappy, tell me my fortune.
Your fortune is good news will come to you by mail.
Okay.
I'm assuming email. And my fortune is loving is sharing rainbows of happiness, which is obvious bullshit.
What was that one again?
Loving is sharing rainbows of happiness.
In bed.